Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Commander's Forge. My name is Andy Bentley, and the Forge is an area for me to talk about Magic, Commander, and anything else as I try and navigate this crazy world. Now, I am recording this after getting home from Magic Con Minneapolis, and I'm exhausted. So, let's talk about, my trip to Minneapolis. And let's start by saying, is it the smartest idea to drive from New York to Minneapolis? The answer is no, but I'm a dum-dum. That said, long car drives don't actually bother me all that much, probably because I was conditioned to them when I was a child, and my parents would drag me out to Michigan every year. So, the long drives don't bother me, and I actually like being alone where I can just kind of listen to whatever I want, throw whatever I need to in to listen to, and drive. And drive I did. So, I left my house at about 5 p.m. Thursday night, and I drove. And I know I got through Pennsylvania, Ohio, and by the time I stopped to get a few hours of sleep, I was somewhere at a Walmart in Wisconsin. I just kind of slept on the backseat of my car, got up the next day, drove the rest of the way, got to my hotel, took a shower, and then attended the con. Now, I have a unique way to compare these to what they used to be, because I've been playing long enough that I've been to GPs, I've been to Magic Fests, I've been to Command Fests, and I've watched Mythic Championships. So, when I say that Magic Con actually felt like a pure convention, I mean it. The amount of detail that went into actually putting on a show was like top notch. Even though I necessarily wasn't there to see any of the show, I was there to, you know, maybe pick up a couple of cards. But the real reason I was there was to meet up with friends that I have not seen in person in many, many years because of the whole pandemic thing. So in that regard, this weekend was very successful. And no, I did not get to meet up with everybody I wanted to. I just didn't have the time. The number one person that I didn't get to catch up with is Olivia, but I know she was insanely busy this weekend. But that said, like, I did get to catch up with Shivam, and sure, it was more of a, hey, how have you been? I don't want to take up too much of your time, like, meet up again. But the fact that we could meet up in person, and we literally live on different sides of the country. And then I met up with Andy Flory and his husband, because, you know, I feel like I made great friends with their podcast. And there's just so many people in the community that I've met just throughout the years where even if we weren't on like first name basis, it was like, oh, hey, I remember meeting you at this event in this year. So all in all, I had a wonderful time. And well, I did end up being severely exhausted for most of it because I, you know, decided to drive out there like a dum-dum. It really wasn't that bad. And I took the quiet time when I needed to, and I, for the most part, just played Commander with a bunch of great people over the weekend. I think I ended up getting in 12 total games over, I don't know, maybe the course of about 20 hours. I had a great time. And then the return trip wasn't as long or as bad, because on the way out, I did not take toll roads to save some money. And on the way back, I did take toll roads. So it shaved like 3.5 hours off the total drive time. So all in all, Magic Cons are definitely worth it if you just want to be a part of the community. That said, there's a ton of other things to do there. Alright, that's enough of me gushing about meeting up with my friends. I'm going to kick this to the next part, and we're going to talk about a deck that I've been putting together just using spare parts from other things that I haven't been using. I'll see you in a minute.
Hey, I just want to take a minute to tell you about my Patreon. I know times are hard for everybody, and I know it isn't easy to shuffle around bills and stuff. Believe me, I know that. But if you would like to help support the podcast and me, you can find the links to my Patreon in my link tree, which is always put into the description of either the video or the audio, wherever you're listening to it. It would really mean the world to me. Honestly, I'm just struggling to make ends meet most weeks. But that's it. That's all. If you want to help, the links will be where you can find them.
And we are back. Now, I tried to build Isshin Two Heavens is One as a samurai, just tribally stuff deck. It was not good. It did not last very long. And I just kind of had parts of it sitting around. And I thought, you know what? What would just be easier? Boros Voltron. So I built this with Ryu Storm's Edge. It's 2, a red and white for a 3/3 human samurai with first strike. And whenever a samurai or warrior you control attacks alone, untap it. If it's the first combat phase of the turn, there's an additional combat phase after this phase. Now, when I say I built this with remnants, it's literally I just went through cards on my desk and threw them into a pile. But some of the notable holdovers from the samurai deck originally. We have Selfless Samurai, which is 1 and a white for a 2/2 Fox Samurai. Whenever a samurai or warrior attacks alone, it gains lifelink till end of turn, which seems pretty good if I'm going to be continually swinging with my commander. It also has To Sacrifice It, and another target creature you control gains indestructible till end of turn. Gorogoro, Disciple of Ryusei, is 1 and a red for a 2/2 Goblin Samurai. You can pay a red, and creatures you control gain haste until end of turn. And he also has the ability to pay 3 red-red to create a 5/5 Red Dragon Spirit creature token with flying. Activate only if you control an attacking modified creature. Again, this is Voltron, so we're basically always going to have an attacking modified creature. And then the Samurai of the Pale Curtain. It's white-white for a 2/2 Fox Samurai with Bushido 1. And if a permanent would be put into a graveyard, remove it from the game instead. So it's just a little hate bear. Yeah. Now, when I say the deck was built with leftovers, I really mean that, because I have a Pure Steel Paladin here, which is white-white for a 2/2 Human Knight. Whenever an equipment enters the battlefield under your control, you may draw a card. And it has Metalcraft. Your equipment have equipped 0 as long as you control 3 or more artifacts. This happens to be the non-foil copy that was replaced by the foil copy that I pulled. So I just happened to have another one. And SRAM Senior Edificer is 1 and a white for a 2/2 Dwarf Advisor. Whenever you cast an aura, equipment, or vehicle spell, draw a card. That came out of that same deck. So did the Sigarda's Aid. Single white for an enchantment. You may cast aura and equipment spells as if they have flash. And whenever an equipment enters the battlefield under your control, it auto-equips. The The real difference here is what makes it in that, well, didn't fit with the other Voltron decks, because there's too much protection from all the colors flying around with, you know, the swords. So I wanted this to have some of the more other equipment. So things like Embercleave, 4 red-red for an equipment with flash. It costs 1 less to cast for each attacking creature you control. And the equipped creature gets +1/+1 and has double strike and trample and equips for 3. The trick with Embercleave is you attack with your commander alone to untap and take an additional combat. That second combat, you can attack with everything because you're not going to trigger your commander again. And that's when you would want to play this. But we have fun stuff like Rabbit Battery, which is a single red 1/1 equipment rabbit. It has haste, and the equipped creature gets +1/+1 and has haste. And it has reconfigure for a red, which is just it's a creature that turns into an equipment keyword or ability. I don't know. We have a Great Sword of Tear, which is 1 and a white for an equipment. Whenever the equipped creature attacks, put a +1/+1 counter on it and tap up to 1 target creature defending player controls, equipped for a single white. Boots of Speed. It's a single red equipment. Equipped creature gets +1/+0 and has haste. Equips for 1. Yeah. And then we get into some of the more cards that are in there for a specific reason. And the leftover equipment from other decks that I just didn't have in anything. So starting with the stuff that's kind of in there for a reason, we have Hanwar Battlements. It's a land, it makes a colorless, but you can pay a red and tap it. And target creature gains haste until end of turn. We don't need to worry about the second ability on there because I'm not running the other half of the meld. Bitter Reunion is 1 and a red for an enchantment. When it enters the battlefield, you may discard a card if you do draw a card, which has already been helpful in most cases. But you can pay 1 and sacrifice it to give creatures you control haste until end of turn, so it's a good way to just play this out early, have it there, and then when, you know, you have to play your commander for the third time, it just takes you an additional mana to give it haste. Yeah. Ruined Stalactite is a single mana equipment. Equipped creature gets +1/+1 and is every creature type it equips for 2. This is in here for when we want to send somebody bigger than our commander in. And the best example of that is going to be Morag, Fury of Akum. 4 red-red for a 6/6 Minotaur Warrior. Each creature you control gets +1/+0 for each time it has attacked this turn. Landfall, whenever a land enters the battlefield under your control, if it's your main phase, there is an additional combat phase after this phase. At the beginning of this combat, untap all creatures you control. So, the one thing I see people mess up with Morag is playing their land in the first main, which means you just have 1 combat. So, the trick there is to play it in your second main, hence getting another combat. Now, in the practice of finding these equipment that I just had laying around, there is a total of 6 equipment that give the creature flying that cost anywhere from 3 to 4 mana to play and equip. So at 1 mana, we have the Cliffhaven Kitesail and the Zephyr Boots. They both equip for 2. They're both equipment. They both say equipped creature has flying. The Kite Sail, when it enters, attaches to a creature you control, and the Zephyr Boots say whenever equipped creature deals combat damage to a player, draw a card, then discard a card. Now, at 2 mana and 2 mana to equip, we have 3. We have Kite Sail, Raven Wings, and Fleet Feather Sandals. Again, all 2 to play, 2 to equip. The Kite Sail gives +1/+0 in flying. The Raven Wings gives +1/+0 in flying, but also makes your guy a bird in addition to their other types. And the Sandals give flying and haste. And then we have one that is 2 mana and 1 to equip, that is Cobbled Wings. The equipped creature has flying. And then to round this list out, we're just going to talk about some of the other equipment I have in here that either came out of the other Voltron deck or just never made it into the other Voltron deck, or that I had spare copies of. First up, we have Champion's Helm, 3 mana, equipment, equips for 1, equipped creature gets +2/+2, as long as the equipped creature is legendary, it has hexproof. Sword of Vengeance, 3 mana, equipment, equips for 3, equipped creature gets +2/+0 and has first strike, vigilance, trample, and haste. Hammer of Nazan, 4 mana, equipment, 4 to equip. When Hammer of Nazan or another equipment enters the battlefield under your control, you can attach it to a creature you control, and the equipped creature gets +2/+0 and has indestructible. Basilisk Scholar is a single mana equipment that equips for 2. It gives the creature Death Touch and Lifelink. Darksteel Plate is 3 mana equipment, 2 to equip. Darksteel Plate is indestructible, and the equipped creature is indestructible. And then Loxodon Warhammer, 3 mana, equipment, 3 to equip. Equipped creature gets +3/+0 and has trample and lifelink. And yeah, that's kind of it. I don't really have a whole lot more to say about it. It's just gonna turn a dude sideways, which is one of my preferred ways to play. That said, if you have any questions for me, you know where to find me. I will see you next time. Goodbye. Thank you for listening. All of my links can be found in my link tree in the description below. I would like to thank Ian Foss and Cody Mulpey of the band The Crypt for allowing me to use music for my opening and ending, along with Nate and Erica Jacobs for making my original logo. And I would also like to thank Christina McNichol for creating my new logo. And I'll see you next time.